Toronto FC played last night. I know we're in the middle of the Olympics, the Leaf season, Raptors on the All-Star break, but they had a big win last night, 2-0 in Colorado in their first leg of their CONCACAF round of 16 matchup with Colorado. To talk about that and talk about some UEFA Champions League as well, he covers soccer for Sportsnet. He's the chief soccer reporter. John Molinaro joins us here on Sportsnet tonight. Hey, John, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you today?
Good. John, for people who don't know, and I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the tournament, but explain to the listener who are now jumping on the Toronto FC bandwagon, fresh off winning the MLS Cup, what is CONCACAF Champions League and why isn't it such an important competition now for Toronto FC?
So basically, the CONCACAF Champions League is just the CONCACAF version of what the UEFA Champions League is. So CONCACAF means it refers to the region of North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. So it takes basically all the best teams, all the champions from the countries in those countries, and brings them all together into one tournament. Very much how, you know, the UEFA Champions League brings together, you know, the best teams from France and England and Spain and Germany and all across Europe into one sort of, you know, group stage and then knockout tournament. That's essentially what the CONCACAF Champions League is. And it's important because, you know, it's one thing for MLS teams to sort of win MLS Cup and to sort of test themselves against, you know, other teams in their own leagues. But this is a chance to sort of see how they measure up against some of the best teams, as I said, across North America, from Mexico and Costa Rica and Nicaragua and El Salvador. So it's, you know, it's an important continental tournament for not just for MLS teams, but I think for all clubs across North America and Central America.
How does this version of TFC stack up against some of those teams? Those Mexican teams are always tough. Are they right in the mix, would you say, as a contender to win the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, you can't sort of overstate how dominant the Mexican teams have been in this tournament. Since 2008, 2009, which was the first tournament, Mexican teams have won every one. And all but two of the finals have been all Mexican finals. Only two MLS teams have reached the CONCACAF Champions League final, Real Salt Lake and Montreal Impact. So the Mexican teams dominate this tournament. MLS teams have historically struggled. You know, Vancouver and New York got to the semifinals last year, but really didn't threaten to win the tournament. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Toronto does, because if they get through Colorado, and it looks like they will, then, you know, potentially they're going to meet Tigres in the next round. And Tigres is one of the best teams in Mexico. And, you know, as great as we think TFC is, I mean, Mexican teams are, you know, their spending power is greater than what they have in MLS. They're able to attract, you know, bigger squads, more expensive squads. These are the Mexican sides are the team to beat in this competition. So, you know, if TFC wants to sort of make a run in this tournament, it's great that they dominated in MLS like they did last year, but it's not going to be easy for them. They're not going to sort of dominate like they did in MLS last year. It's going to be a hard path to the final for them.
John, if Toronto FC would win a CONCACAF championship, does that legitimize MLS more to the average soccer fan in the city, or is legitimize maybe a strong word?
I think it would certainly go a long way in legitimizing them. I think it would certainly bring a lot more attention to TFC. The other notable thing about winning this tournament is that if you do win the CONCACAF Champions League, then you go to the FIFA Club World Cup in December. And that's a big deal, because then you're talking about meeting all the sort of continental champions. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah. So potentially, you know, if FC Barcelona or Bayern Munich wins the UEFA Champions League this year, they go on to the FIFA World Cup, and the same thing for the champions of South America and Asia and Africa and all this sort of continents. So to go on a big stage like that, that's sort of like the big carrot that is dangled in front of every club entering the Champions League. And I think, you know, that is the ultimate goal for TFC. If they can get to sort of the FIFA Club World Cup, I'm sure they would feel that playing on that sort of global stage really gives them even more legitimacy.
In terms of what took place on the pitch last night, it was quite a convincing 2-0 victory in less than ideal conditions with the altitude and the cold temperatures. But what I'm wondering is that they had a couple of key departures in the offseason. Steven Betashore, Raheem Edwards, Benoit Cherou are all gone. How did Greg Vanney go about, at least last night, trying to fill some of those holes with some of the new personnel, and what can fans expect from some of the new guys, and how much that's going to change what TFC does?
Yeah, well, didn't really miss a beat without those guys yesterday. I mean, you know, Gregory Vanderveel, who was the Dutch defender that they brought in to fill the void left by Steven Betashore, he didn't even travel to Colorado because his wife is pregnant, so he was allowed to stay back in Toronto. So what Vanny did was he gave a start to Auro, the young Brazilian defender that they signed 2 weeks ago, who's on loan from Brazilian club Sao Paulo. He started at the right back position. He was fantastic. I mean, he was, you know, couldn't have been easy for him, you know, a South American kid playing in Colorado of all places with those temperatures. And he was, it was a seamless debut for him. It was just sensational. You know, they brought in, as I said, they brought in Vanderveel. So it's true that they have lost those sort of bodies in the off season, but they brought in suitable replacements. And, you know, I think the team is just so incredibly deep and diversified and tactically flexible that, you know, I don't suspect they're really going to skip a beat this year in MLS.
The other guy that stood out to me last night was Jonathan Osorio, who scored a goal, looked really composed, and this is coming off of a real strong second half to last season. Is he a guy who's expected to take the leap sort of this season to become a more consistent player and a guy that Vanny can really count on?
I would think so. I mean, I think we saw that last year. I mean, it was a difficult year for Jonathan because before last year, he was pretty much a regular starter for TFC. And then Victor Vazquez comes in and Marky Delgado is given more playing time, and Jonathan really sort of had to bide his time, and he wasn't regular starting. It was only during, you know, the second half of the season from September to the playoffs that he got, you know, somewhat regular starts and regular playing time. And he, you know, I think he overcame that early diversity and really thrived. And you look at how he played in the MLS Cup final against Seattle. I think that was one of the best games he's ever played in a TFC uniform. And you're right. He was great yesterday. I think he's just, his game is a lot more diverse, a lot more poised and a lot more balanced. So, yeah, I think he's really sort of grown in the last sort of 8 months, and I suspect he's going to continue to grow, and that Vanny will continue and hopefully, you know, continue to call on him and be able to rely on him in a big way.
He is SportsSense chief soccer reporter John Molinaro joining us here on SportsSense tonight. That's Josh. I'm George. John, shifting focus to the UEFA Champions League, the quarterfinal, the round of 16 legs, the other two matches took place yesterday. And today, Shakhtar got past Roma 2-1 at home, while Sevilla and Man United played to a scoreless tie. Is that a good result for Man U on the road?
I think so. Sevilla is a very difficult team. I know that you know, they're not Real Madrid or Barcelona or Atletico Madrid, but this is a quality side. You know, Vincenzo Montella, the Italian manager, they were struggling recently, and they brought him in, and he sort of has them playing some good football, and, you know, turned around results a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good result, especially when you consider all the soap opera that's going on at Man United with Jose Mourinho and Paul Pogba, because they seem to be at odds, and you know, they just seem to be underperforming. So to go into a difficult stadium like that and beat it and get a positive result, and a clean sheet against a team like Sevilla, I think that's a pretty good result, and they'll certainly take that going back to Old Trafford in 2 weeks.
What did you think of the Barcelona getting an, obviously that away goal is critical, getting that goal at Stamford Bridge, playing Chelsea to a 1-1 tie. Does Chelsea have a chance in Barcelona on the return leg?
Well, you know, it's 1-1, so I suppose they have a chance realistically. But, I mean, you know, going to the Camp Nou, you know, needing to score against Barcelona, that's a tall order, you know. You know, and I feel bad for Chelsea because I thought they did enough to win that game yesterday. It was really only, you know, 7 seconds of madness when Christensen played that, you know, that ludicrous ball across his box that, you know, that Barcelona picked off, and Iniesta played the pass off for Messi and he hammered it home. But for that fact, you know, Chelsea would have probably taken a draw or would have held on for the win. So it was a bit cruel on them just based on, you know, the balance of play. Now they have it all to do, go to Barcelona. Can they do it? Sure, but I wouldn't bet on it. I think Barcelona is just the best team in the world right now. And I think, you know, I think they realize how lucky they were London the way they did, and they're going to sort of hammer the Blues when they come visiting in 2 weeks.
PSG's down 3-1 to Real Madrid, and if they go out, which I think is probably a pretty safe assumption at this point, should we expect a potential manager change if that ends up being the case?
I think so. I mean, I think Unai Emery is, you know, he was kind of on, I think he was on thin ice before, before this series. And, you know, if they go out of the round of 16, then I think that'll just sort of, you know, seal his fate.
Same thing, for Zidane, though, isn't it, John? Like, pretty much the loser of this leg is going to get fired because Zidane, because of how much Real Madrid has struggled domestically, the loser was pretty much going to lose their job in this leg, were they not?
Well, I don't know about Zidane. I mean, I certainly, you know, there's no question they've struggled domestically, and, you know, they're already out of the Copa del Rey, and this is the, you know, winning the Champions League is all they have, right? And they might not even sort of finish in the top four because I think they're third right now, but it's a very close race in Spain. But it's still Zidane, and I still think, you know, there's that gravitas of him. And, you know, he did lead the team to the Champions League title last year, so I think he's got enough goodwill. With Emery, I think the problem is that PSG has just sunk in, you know, millions and millions of dollars into this team. And, you know, bringing in Neymar, setting the world record transfer fee record. And, you know, it looks like they're going to bow out in the round of 16. You don't sort of make that kind of investment and spend those kind of resources to not win in Europe and to go out in the round of 16. So I think that's why his situation is a little bit different.
He's a chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, John Molinaro. John, thanks for doing this tonight.
No problem. Anytime, guys.